I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading today comes from 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, 1 through 11. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. Then the Lord called again, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
This is a fascinating story. I mean, you think about it. I mean, here's Samuel. He's being called. Samuel keeps going to Eli, and Eli keeps saying, "It's not me." Now, I think in today's world, if that were to happen and some of us were to start running to other people and saying, "Hey, you called me." No. After about the third time, we might call the people in the white coats. Say, "What's going on?" Can you imagine? Lord calls Jack, "Jack, Jack," and he runs to Joan and says, "Here I am, you called me." You don't want to know what would happen to Jack. But that's the situation, and Eli was very perceptive to see what was going on. Because you see, if you read this whole story, what you will find about Eli, who is a priest, his sons were scoundrels. They were ripping people off, doing all kinds of things, and his sons were priests. And Eli couldn't have been more disappointed that he had these boys who did not understand what it meant to be called by the Lord God. But Samuel, he's training Samuel. You might also make note of the fact that God did not speak to Samuel through Eli. He spoke directly to Samuel. That made it even more confusing, but Eli figured it out. But I'm going to tell you something, and I mean this sincerely. I believe that God speaks to us. I do. I believe God speaks to us in various ways. It can be through other people. It can be through nature. It can be through dreams. But God does speak to us. The question is, are we listening when God speaks to us? We even have a story in Numbers 22, verses 21 through 35, where the Lord speaks to Balaam through a donkey. God can use anything to speak to us, whether it be through wind, fire, clouds, donkey, whatever. God will find a way to get our attention. And hopefully, for those who were ordained, who were installed as officers and as chairs, God has spoken to their hearts and said, "This is what I want you to do." Okay? Because, see, all too often what happens is you ask someone, "Why are you serving?" And they'll say, "Well, because Jack called me and asked me to." Now, I got to tell you, it's not the same as having a donkey talk to you. Although, if I put it up to a vote, Jack could be in trouble. But we know that God does these things, right? The scripture tells us that God uses all manners of nature and people and dreams to speak to us. You've heard the old saying, God has no hands but our hands and no feet but our feet. That's just another way of saying that God uses us to carry out God's ministry and mission. This day we have one person ordained an elder, numerous people installed as church officers, and numerous people installed as chairs of committees. If we ask them why they accepted, what answer do you think they would give? I felt that the Lord wanted me to. I felt that Jack wanted me to. What would be their answer? Now, let's make this whole servant thing a little more personal here. This whole serving thing kind of awesome and overwhelming because I believe that God worked through Jack. I believe that. Jack was coming up with names and he was saying, gosh, I don't know. And I think God said, ask this person. There were people that he shared with me he didn't think would accept. And they did. And we were both stunned, weren't we, Jack? I mean, Johnny Cunningham took a position. He just got a new set of lungs. He hadn't even got out of the house yet, but he said, I will serve. And I think that's God. I think that's God working. Now, before I go any further, I do want to make a profound apology to the deacons because in the bulletin you're listed under officers, so you will know deacons are officers in the church. And I'm sorry, I did not look around to see if you came up, and I should have. But know you're installed, and know that you are an officer, and know that we appreciate your service, and we think the world of you as we do all those who serve our Lord. And now I'm going to tell you a story. And it's going to be a story that I hope communicates a profound message to you. Now, I thought about, and I know that I had someone in this congregation say, hey, it's a big ordination day. I think what you ought to do is preach a one-hour sermon. And I said, George, I'm not going to do it. So just know I've shortened this a bit because this is such an important day. But this story is going to convey, I hope, a really important message to you. In 1972, NASA launched the exploratory space probe Pioneer 10. According to Leon Jaroff, who was interviewed by Time magazine, the satellite's primary mission was to reach Jupiter, photograph the planet and its moons, and then beam the data back to Earth about Jupiter's magnetic field, radiation belts, and atmosphere. Scientists regarded this as a bold plan, for at the time, no Earth satellite had ever gone beyond Mars. And they feared the asteroid belt would destroy the satellite before it could reach its target. But Pioneer 10 accomplished its mission and much, much more. Swinging past the giant planet in November 1973, some of you might remember, that was a good year. Jupiter's immense gravity hurled Pioneer 10 at a higher rate of speed toward the edge of the solar system. At 1 billion miles from the sun, Pioneer 10 passed Saturn. At some 2 billion miles, it hurtled past Uranus. Neptune at nearly 3 billion miles, Pluto at nearly 4 billion miles away from Earth and the sun. By 1997, 25 years after its launch, Pioneer 10 was more than 6 billion miles from the sun. And despite that immense distance, Pioneer 10 continued to beam back radio signals to scientists on Earth. Now, you, by today's standards, you're thinking, oh, that's not so amazing. We do that. Folks, this is 1973. Think about this. The most remarkable thing, Jaroff wrote, is those signals emanate from an 8-watt transmitter. which radiates about as much power as a bedroom nightlight and takes more than 9 hours to reach Earth. The little satellite that could was not qualified to do what it did. Engineers designed Pioneer 10 with a useful life of just 3 years. You figured that out, 72. We're into the 90s. Pretty amazing. But it kept going and going. By simple longevity, its tiny 8-watt transmitter radio accomplished more than anyone thought was possible. So it is when we offer ourselves to the Lord. Those who took these offices, those who came up as elder, as deacons, whatever position, may come in thinking, I'm just an 8-watt transmitter. I can't do much. But when you're plugged into the Lord, you can keep going. If you are plugged into the Lord, then you're going to be transmitting for a long time doing the work of God. However, God finds it difficult to work through someone who doesn't submit to His will or who quits. So if you're one of these who say, I can't do it, I just can't, God's in there saying, come on, come on. And, oh, you know, I don't feel like I'm qualified. Was Samuel qualified? He was a boy. Do you not think that Samuel had doubts? Have you not read the story of Jeremiah? What happened? God goes to Jeremiah and says, Jeremiah, I'm calling you to be one of mine, to go out. And Jeremiah, this little boy, says, I'm just a kid. I'm just a kid. God says, I don't care. I'm with you. That makes it possible. For our elder, for our chairs, for our deacons, for everyone, God says, I'm with you. Don't be reluctant. Jump in there. Get it done. Today we celebrate these who have given themselves in service to the Lord. Today we say, thank you, good and faithful servants. But to me, more importantly, if you've accepted a position and you are worried or even scared that you will not be successful in your post, remember, you may have, only an 8-watt ability, but our God will give you the power to keep going. Our God will make it possible for you to work miracles. That's what God does. And to add to that good news, know that He will do the same for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. Whether we've accepted a position or not, God is there. And God says, you can do it. I don't care how young or how old or in between you are, I'm here, and if I'm here, everything's possible. So when you hear a voice and you aren't sure who it is speaking to you, you can be sure who it is speaking to you. Oh, well, I thought you... No, well, I heard this. Listen, remember this scripture. It'll make their ears tingle. Is that not what we're told? God speaks to us. Our ears tingle. We're not really sure that we can do it, but God says you can, and I know you can, and I'm here with you. So if you start saying, what's that? God's going to say, that's me, and you're capable. And the reason you're capable is because I made you that way. Pretty good. Let us remember that we are all called. For those who have accepted positions, remember that you do not work alone. You work with God. And remember, as in the ordination service, we talk about you are to work together. Together in the ministry of Jesus Christ. To make that ministry fruitful and grow. So let us work together. Let us remember that this isn't something that Jack asked you to do, or Tim, or George, or anyone else. This is something God's asked you to do. Be a minister. The ministry of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for our new elder. We give you thanks for our officers, our deacons. We give you thanks for our committee chairs and for those who serve on the committees. For Lord, it is your ministry they are doing. And I ask that you fill them full of your glory, full of your spirit, that they may have a successful year and a successful life serving you. For I ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.